Hello and welcome back to the Thinking Jew podcast, where we dive deep into Torah and Jewish philosophy, always uncovering new depths we did not realize were there beforehand. I'm your host, Rabbi Moshe Siegel, coming to you from Richardson, Texas. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, topic requests, you can reach me at thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com. I want to discuss today the deeper meaning behind a few numbers in Judaism, specifically the numbers 6, 7, and 8. So in Jewish philosophy, a number is not just a method of quantification. It's not just a means to allow me to pass over a piece of knowledge to you, for example, telling you how much of something I have. But there's actually an inherent representation and meaning behind each number. So if, for example, we find that God created the world in 7 days, we don't say that it was just coincidence and it just happened to be that that's how long it took. Rather, we say there's something about the concept of seven that reflects creating a complete world. And once we understand what that theme is, we'll see how it applies to all of the different occurrences of seven that exist in the Torah and really throughout the entire world. So where else do we find the number of seven? There's 7 weeks that we count the Omer that we're currently in right now, going from Passover to Shavuos. There's 7 years until the sabbatical year, until the Shemitah year. And then there's 7 Shemitah cycles until the Jubilee year. Shabbos is the 7th day of the week, like we mentioned. More generally, there's 7 colors in the rainbow. Roy G. Biv. 7 primary musical notes. When a close family member passes away, we sit Shiva, 7 days of mourning. There's 7 Noahide laws. And there's many, many more examples of the number 7 in Judaism and in the world. And when you look at this from a deeper perspective, you begin to realize that there's a reason why God decided to make a rainbow with specifically 7 colors and not 6 and not 8. There's a reason why God decided to make the Shemitah cycle exactly 7 years and not 6 or 8. And the same with all the other examples. So let's try to understand what exactly the concept is. And we'll see that to properly understand 7, we need to understand where 7 comes from and where 7 is going, meaning we need to understand 6, which leads into 7, and 8, which follows 7. So let's start this with the most basic of all 7s, the first one we mentioned, the first one we find in the Torah, the creation of the world. So how many days did it actually take God to create the world? The answer is 6. God created the entire physical world in 6 days, and then on the 7th day, as we know, God rested. So what does it mean that God rested? And why does that have its own distinct day if nothing actually happened on it? The deeper sources explain that when we say God rested on the 7th day, it means that he rested. He resided inside of our world. As a parable, imagine you're building a new house for yourself to live in. So it takes 8 months, let's say. It takes a long time. Eventually, you finish the complete construction and furnishing. And then after that's all done, you actually move into the house. That's the same thing happening here. There were 6 days to make up the physical construct of the world, and on the 7th day, God actually moved into the world. So on Shabbos, we're not celebrating that God wasn't busy with creation anymore, that he was finished. Rather, we're actually celebrating the fact that God connected himself to our world on Shabbos. And Shabbos continues to serve as the moment in time where God's presence is more felt in our world, where we revisit the time when God, so to speak, first moved in. Let's use a general example to try to bring out the concept of what exactly the 6 days of creation and Shabbos is, and more globally, what exactly the concept of 6 is, and what exactly is the concept of 7. So we can really use anything in the physical world as an example, but let's just take a chair. A chair, like everything else in our world, exists in 3 dimensions. There's the length, the width, and the height of the item. In other words, every physical item, every 3-dimensional item, has 6 sides to it. There's the top and bottom, the front and back, and the left and right. So let's say I want to describe a chair to you, and I say, it's a 3-dimensional item that has 6 sides to it. The definition doesn't work because that describes everything in the world. Every physical mass fits into that description. So what do I say when I want to describe a chair? I tell you its function. I tell you it's something that you can sit on. The function of the chair isn't part of the physical makeup of the chair, but rather it's the purpose that the chair was ultimately created for. So 6 represents the pure physicality, the physical makeup of the item corresponding to the six sides of any physical mass. But beyond just having six sides, a chair also has a function. It has a purpose. You can sit on it. That's what seven represents. Seven is what follows six. Beyond just having a physical mass, seven represents the purpose, the functionality of that item. In Hebrew, we refer to these concepts as chomer and tzura. Six corresponds to the chomer, meaning the physical mass, the physicality of the item, and seven corresponds to the tzura, which means the purpose of the item. So if you go back to our example of Shabbos, it wasn't random that God took 6 days to create the physical reality of our world. Rather, creation of a purely physical entity is by definition represented by the number six. So Hashem specifically used 6 days to create the physical world because six itself reflects the concept of creating a physical world. Next comes Shabbos. Shabbos is on the seventh day. And Shabbos is the tzura of the world. It's the purpose of the world. It's functionality. You want to know why God created the world? What's the purpose of a chair? To provide a place for people to sit on. What's the purpose of the world? To provide a place for people to connect to God in. And that purpose was actualized on the seventh day, Shabbos. So if we're to define what exactly is six, what exactly is seven, six is connected to the physical identity of the item. A piece of wood connects to six. Seven is its complete, perfect physical unit. An item is perfect when it's fulfilling a purpose, when it's actualizing its potential. A piece of wood by itself isn't significant, but once it's given a function, once it's transformed into a chair, a table, a beam for a house, now it corresponds to the number seven as it's actualizing a purpose in the world. Beyond just the six sides of the physical makeup, it has a function. So it's six, and then the function, that's seven. So a perfect complete cycle in the natural world always expresses itself in seven parts. That's why a rainbow has seven colors, there's seven musical notes. They're all examples of a perfect complete physical cycle. A complete morning cycle is also 7 days, sabbatical year, jubilee year. They all come back to the same concept. They're functioning in complete, perfect physical cycles. So that's number six and seven. Where does seven lead to? What's number eight? The concept of eight is the next level beyond physical perfection. To bring out this concept, the most classic example of eight is that of a circumcision which takes place on the eighth day. The circumcision is the unique sign of a Jew that he can override the physical temptations and the seemingly perfection of this world of seven, and he can connect the world to the divine. He can connect to a world greater than seven. He can connect to a world of eight. Hence, the bris is on the eighth day. And the Maharal explains that this is actually the deeper reason why a circumcision overrides the Sabbath. In general, Shabbos is extremely significant, and almost nothing will override Shabbos. But a circumcision, even though you have to transgress one of the laws of Shabbos by making a wound, it overrides the laws of Shabbos because the world of eight always supersedes the world of seven. The greatest connection we have in our physical world of seven to the supernatural world of eight is the Torah. There are two distinct calendar dates in which we celebrate the Torah. The first date is the upcoming holiday of Shavuos, in which we celebrate the receiving of the Torah that we got on Mount Sinai. And the second is the holiday of Simchas Torah, in which we celebrate the completion of reading the yearly cycle of the Torah. When does Simchas Torah fall out? Simchas Torah is the eighth day of Sukkot. In the Torah, Sukkot is 7 days. It's followed by Shmini Atzeres, which is the eighth day on which we also celebrate the Torah, specifically on the eighth day. When does Shavuos fall out? So we know we're now in the middle of the counting of the Omer. We're counting 7 weeks of 7 days, 49 days total. Shavuos falls out on the 50th day. The Maharal explains that the greatest expression of sevenness in the world is if you take seven and you multiply it by seven, which is 49, that's the strongest expression of seven you can have. So what comes after seven times seven? What comes after 49? 50. Shavuos. 50, the Maharal explains, is really connected to the same concept as eight because they're both the numbers that follow physical perfection, and they reflect our connection to that which overrides nature, that which is greater than nature, the supernatural, spiritual world of God. So both days that we celebrate the Torah on always takes place in the world of eight. And we can really go through that entire list we started with of sevens and explain how this concept works through all of them. But I'll leave that up to you to think through. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out, thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com. But I want to just leave you with one last amazing idea that expresses itself with 6, 7, and 8. Another place we know where 8 plays a major role is the holiday of Hanukkah. As we know, Hanukkah is 8 days long because the oil miraculously lasted for 8 days. Now, what are we celebrating? Who did we defeat in the battle of Hanukkah? Who are our enemies? The Greeks. What was the basic ideological battle between the Greeks and the Jews? So we know historically the Greeks were the creators of the Olympics, of gymnasiums. The Greeks were very focused on the human body. Their philosophy was that physical perfection was itself the purpose. They connected the world of seven. What's the purpose of the physical world? They connected it back to 6. The Jews, on the other hand, they believed that really the world of seven, our physical world, is connected to a higher world. It's connected and it actually flows from the world of 8. And this was really the great ideological battle between the Jews and the Greeks. And if you look, it's an amazing thing. How do we say Greece in Hebrew? The word is Yavon. The numerical value of the word Yavon is 66, because that's what Greece stood for. They stood for 6. That's who they were. And now you can understand why the Greeks forbade us in the Hanukkah story from keeping Shabbos, which reflects that there's actually a higher purpose to the world of 6. Now, how did the Jews override the Greeks? They did it with oil. The Hebrew word for oil is shemen, which is the exact same root as the word shmona, or the number 8. And they specifically got this oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it. The Kohen Gadol is the great connector between the world of 7 and the world of 8. And that's why he uniquely wears 8 articles of clothing. And we took this oil and we lit it on the 7-branched menorah, thereby connecting the world of 7 to the world of 8. So that's just another amazing representation of these concepts of 6, 7, and 8. Again, 6 being the physical mass, 7 being its purpose in the physical world, and 8 being the supernatural world, what exists beyond this world. Give us all a blessing that we should be able to see in our lives how the physical world we live in really does flow from the world of 8. It really, all the occurrences of our lives, everything that happens to us, is really all hand-selected by an all-knowing God who's running the world from a world of 8 and providing us exactly what we need in order to fulfill the purpose, in order to take the 6 and turn it into the 7 and connect it to the 8, connecting ourselves to Hashem. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Thinking Jew Podcast. If you did and you have a minute, consider leaving a rating or review. Also, make sure you're subscribed so that you never miss an episode. Until next week, have a great one.